Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Monday, March 28, 2022, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page XXV, the fifth paragraph. I personally know scores of cases, ending with, other methods had failed completely. And we're reading and commenting on that one paragraph, which is just one sentence only this morning. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Susan S.H., 12 Traditions, Terry H., Reader of the Text, Lois P., Freya H. will read page 164. The reference number for Sunday, March 27th, is 18,742. That's 18742. And for this morning, Monday, March 28th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 18,744. That's 18744. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Lorraine N., and Robin P. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Susan S.H. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you for your service. This is Susan S.H. I'm in Ohio, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. 12 Steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct demands to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. I pass.
Thank you so much, Susan S.H. I'll now ask Terry H. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning. Thank you, Dawn, for your service. This is Terry H. from Pensacola, Florida, a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Number three, the only requirement for a membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. each group should autonomously explore matters of thing. Other groups are away as a whole. Each group has one prime purpose. Carry a message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Number six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service members may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we must create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Ten, Overeaters Anonymous have no opinion on outside issues. Ten, OA ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to be of service today. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Terry H. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share in what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page XXV, the fifth paragraph. I personally know scores of cases, ending with, other methods had failed completely. And we're going to be reading and commenting on that one paragraph, which is just one sentence only this morning. I will now ask Lois P. to read and share with us. Good morning, Lois.
Good morning, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. This is Lois P., gratefully recovered in New York. I personally know scores of cases who were of the type with whom other methods had failed completely. Well, I personally know my own particular case, so that's what I'll talk about today. So what other methods had failed completely? Well, in my case, in my numerous attempts to recover from my compulsive insanity. Often this included skipping meals, believing that somehow I needed to manage this, what I have now come to know as an allergy, this physical disability or impairment, that idea that I somehow was behind it all and that I could fix it was one of the methods. It was that faulty belief system. Then skipping meals or eating once a day and just saying, you know, this will do it. Signing up for countless weight loss programs. Or some days I just decided to just starve myself. Perhaps eating only grapefruits. That was a good idea, I thought. That was a great method. Walking faster. Maybe, and more often, signing up for endless gym memberships, 99% of the time, not even going. And the best one for me that always failed was promising that I was going to start on Monday. So this one sentence really says it all for myself and many people that I've come to know and love in this program. These ideas that there are other methods that could work just kept me spinning for many years in my life, just in a despair and an out of control world, an inner world, even though I was functioning on the outside. So what did work, and what this one sentence implies to me? Well, what did work for me and what will work for anyone suffering from this painful obsession is to follow the directions in this beautiful little big book, to live in the steps that are so graciously given to us by God through the men who brought this to us, and finding a deep relationship, a very personal relationship with God beyond anything I had experienced before, and then stepping forward in my life and helping others to achieve that same recovery and that same beautiful life of abstinence and living in a lovely, free place of relationship with God. So that's really all I have to share. And I thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you so much, Lois P., for getting us started. I'm now going to be opening up the lines to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph, this one sentence. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us today?
Freya H.
Freya H.
Sandy K.
Sandy K.
Christina R.
Christina R.
Tova E.
Tova E.
Josh R.
Josh R.
Jody E.
And Jody E. Let's stop there. Okay, I have Freya H., Sandy K., Christina R., Tova E., Josh R., and Jody E. So Freya H., please get us started.
Good morning. My name is Freya H. I am a grateful, recovered, compulsive eater and bulimic, and I live in Colorado. Thank you, everybody, for making this meeting happen this morning. It took me a long time to recognize that I had to manage my body size, my food, and also my life had failed completely, because it sure looked like they were working to some extent. So I was honestly convinced that I had failed completely, because I had been at a normal body size most of my life. No one would ever look at me and say, oh, she's overweight or she's underweight. But I was obsessed with managing my body, managing my weight, managing myself. So it seemed like on the outside, I hadn't failed completely. However, after many years of trying to do this program and finding that abstinence didn't equal the serenity and the peace and the freedom that I wanted, that I got to look at this question from another angle, the question of, you know, have I failed completely? And for the things that I actually wanted, which what I just mentioned, you know, peace of mind, freedom, contentment, you know, freedom from that, whatever is the opposite of restless, irritable, and discontent, that's what I wanted. And my methods, even if they had shown some improvement or some progress, or they, you know, I looked good on the outside, they had failed completely to secure those things for me on a long-term sustainable basis. So that was really a powerful admission and acknowledgement. That for me really was step one, was really getting that, you know, maybe I can manage my food, but I can't manage my life. I can't manage my internal condition, and that the food is just a symptom. So I'm so glad that we are just reading this one line today, because it is a beautiful, powerful reflection on what are the methods I've tried and do I believe that they've worked? So I'm grateful to be here, and I will pass.
Thank you so much, Freya H. from Colorado. Now, Sandy K., please share with us, followed by Christina R. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. This is Sandy K., recovered compulsive overeater from Florida. This one sentence that somebody else said is really impactful. I remember when I first came, before I first came into program, I believe I tried everything that there was at that time. I went to a therapist and she said I could be hospitalized. And actually, it was my pride that brought me to OA because I didn't want to be hospitalized. At those times, they didn't have anything that we, I don't think they were called treatment centers. But some of the things worked. Like I did before I some of these things worked. I lost weight. The issue was there was, I don't know if anyone remembers this, but really a long time ago, there was this orange drink. And I think you only drank that. And maybe you had one meal a day. I'm not sure. But I did it for 2 weeks. I lost weight. And I remember it was so disgusting. But, and then I, so the problem with me was I didn't realize I was allergic to certain foods. So after I lost my weight, I would try to eat moderately. And I didn't. I would gain all that weight back. And as others who are on this line know, not only did I gain that weight back that I lost, I gained back other weight. I couldn't keep the weight off. And by, actually, by the time I finally came into OA, I couldn't even lose weight. So there was nothing like moderation. I have an allergy and a mental twist of the mind, and I didn't know that. That's why I could lose weight and then have to, and I would gain it back. So this has been an education, realizing what my allergic foods are. And if I don't eat an allergic food, I don't have to worry about gaining the weight back that I really work so hard and program to lose. And thank God this program is not just about weight. I found a spirituality here that I never had before, friends and fellowship that I never had before. It's a really beautiful program. And with by the grace of God, I will continue to be working it until my very end. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Sandy K. from Florida. Christina R., share with us now, please, followed by Tova E. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning, Christina R., a grateful, recovering, compulsive eater from Florida. And this was just such perfect timing for me to read this sentence. I was struggling with a lot of food thoughts last night, mainly emotional triggers, and just really had to really get back to step one and pray and make calls. And I'm just so grateful that God brought me through it. But when I think about what methods failed completely, and there's just so many methods, but the main one that's been tripping me up, I say for the past couple of years, has just been the lie that I can go off of my abstinent food plan until graduation is over, until my birthday is done, or until this vacation is over, and then I'll get back on, or until, you know, until this stressful situation is done. And it's such a lie, and I'm just so grateful to be able to recognize that much sooner now, and to just trust, you know, that God will always provide a way out, but that I have to keep turning that over one day at a time, one moment at a time, because I have that physical allergy. So it's such a lie to think that I could ever just go off of plan for an event or to get through difficulties, because then I'm not acknowledging that step one, you know, that I'm powerless over specific foods and specific behaviors. And I failed completely, you know, and just, you know, recognizing how long the detox takes to have to get back on program, and the pain of that. My family has to suffer because they are seeing me having to go through that process again. So I'm just so grateful that today, you know, I don't have to do that. Like, I don't have to buy into that. I can recognize it. It's a lie. I failed completely with trying that for, you know, years. And it wasn't, and also recognizing that it wasn't intentional. Like, I didn't start working the steps and think, okay, and you know, 3 or 4 months, something's going to come up and I'm going to just like plan to go off my plan. Like, it would sneak in. And so that's why I have to really just be on guard and working my program, you know, with the desperation of a drowning man, because I don't know when those thoughts are going to sneak in. And so I'm just so grateful for this reading today, to be able to recognize it, to say it out loud, and to take action. So thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Christina R. from Florida.
Page, are we on, please?
We're on page XXV, the fifth paragraph. Yeah. All right. So now we're going to have Tova E. share with us, please, followed by Josh R. Good morning, Tova E.
Hi, good morning. Just want to thank everybody for having this meeting every morning for us. It's an amazing service that you're doing. And, you know, just keeping at the big book, at the reading, is really it's really what I need. Nothing else has worked. And, you know, I'm still struggling. I had a hard time sleeping last night, and that's when I have the most trouble with my food behaviors. And, you know, I feel like I'm successful in certain areas of my life, and that's like a game my mind plays with me. Well, oh, like, I'm a successful lawyer, so I should be able to nail this eating. Like, how dumb is that, you know? And, you know, to be humble, to be in step one and to recognize that, you know, I can't do this alone. I need God. I need the fellowship. And I have to just keep coming back. I'm just so grateful that I can go on this meeting in the morning. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Tova E. And as a reminder, we are on page XXV, the fifth paragraph. I personally know scores of cases, and we're reading that one sentence only. So Josh R., please share with us, followed by Jody E., and then I'll be opening up the line to take more names. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning. Yes, great to be here on the line this morning. Yeah, I've been really struggling lately with food cravings, and my, you know, when I work with a sponsor, they'll tell me, you know, you should go to a certain amount of meetings and you should, you know, make a certain amount of outreach calls. And, you know, I'm sometimes reluctant because I think, well, I don't have time for that. I need to do other things. You know, I need to take care of other more important things. And, this line just, kind of reminds me that other methods had failed completely. For me, that means I have to surrender totally to this program of action. It means I have to stop doing things my way and start doing it God's way, in the way that will give me the best chance to recover. Because when I try to do things my way, and it's subtle, you know. Sometimes I think, well, I'm not doing anything, you know. If I don't go to that meeting, you know, it's okay. I have other things that are important, and I'm even feeling relief now just by being on this meeting. It's giving me relief from the food thoughts, which have been just so pervasive and just relentless. And I don't like it because I don't have control. I don't have control. I am powerless. I'm on the second chapter, the third chapter. There's a solution. The solution is for me to surrender, to stop looking for other ways of doing this, and to just give myself wholly to this program of action. And I'm grateful that Vision for You program seems to have an understanding of that. And so hopefully I'll just keep doing the next right thing and keep working my program and leave the results to my higher power. With that, I'll pass. Thanks for listening.
Thank you so much, Josh R. And Jody E., will you share with us now, please?
Thank you so much, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in California. Thank you all for your service, Team Monday. So this is Dr. Silkworth speaking.
And as a prominent physician at a well-known treatment facility for alcoholism, he has seen scores and probably more than scores of cases that failed to recover. And I, as an addict, also failed to recover when I was trying to fix this problem on my own, by myself. I too fixed the weight problem, I thought. I managed to lose the extra weight that I had, but I didn't recover. I became sicker and sicker as I continued to try to solve this problem myself. I needed a spiritual solution, first of all, which I didn't know. I didn't know that. I didn't know this was a spiritual problem. I think of it as a spiritual problem. It's also a physical problem and a mental problem, and it's a spiritual problem. And I need a spiritual solution. And the spiritual solution I find when I work these 12 steps. And to work these 12 steps, I must come into contact with other compulsive overeaters. Other compulsive overeaters help me to solve my spiritual problem, and I, in turn, help others, other compulsive overeaters, through this spiritual solution of the 12 steps, and together we can solve this. And that's the difference. I was trying to do it alone with various methods, and I couldn't. I could not do it myself. I needed this fellowship. I needed all of you. And I needed my higher power. And I don't see much of a separation between my higher power and all of you. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Jody E. And I'm now going to be opening up the lines to take more names of people who would like to share on this paragraph, which is just one sentence. And it's page XXV, the fifth paragraph. I personally know scores of cases. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Elaine G.
Robin
G.
Aaliyah
E.
Wendy M. Noel E.
Aaliyah A.
Okay, hold on a second here. Okay, I have Robin P., Wendy M., Noel A., and who else
Aaliyah
did I miss?
G.
Harry A.
Aaliyah B. And
W-G.
Elaine.
Harry A.
Elaine G.
Okay, I have Robin P., Wendy M., Noel A., Aaliyah B., Elaine G., and I think I missed, I'll take one more name, unfortunately, just one more name.
Deborah G.
Terry H.
And Deborah G. and Terry H. will put you on at the very end if we have time. I hope we do. All right, Robin P., if you'd share with us, please, and let us know where you're calling from.
Thank you. Hi, this is Robin P. I'm very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. And if people check their mute status, that would be wonderful. I tried so many things on my own, and I had so much shame that I just felt like I couldn't trust reaching out for help. I grew up in a lot of child abuse, and I just felt like I couldn't ask for help, and I didn't feel safe. And that there's such a difference. I think that positive vulnerability is the antidote to shame. And I just, the only thing that's ever worked for me is this program. And I tried so many things on my own. And I tried therapists, and I tried treatment centers. I just tried so many things. And I was a low-bottom bulimic and compulsive overeater, and I'm just so eternally grateful for this program. I've been abstinent for 6 years, and through the grace of A Vision for You and this program. I wanted to say that we had to put our dog down on Saturday, who was 16 and a half. Her name was Hope Charity Palmer, and she is one of the loves of my life. And I am so grateful to be absent. And yet this is one of those things that, you know, there's this part of me. I know there's no food on the planet that would fill the, you know, and let me escape from the grief. I just get to live life on life's terms. And the love I have in my heart for her is always with me. And I just get to keep tuning into God and praying only for knowledge of his will for me and the power to carry that out. And, you know, turning my will and my life over to the care of God. So thanks for your prayers. And I know Hope's in a much better place. So God bless everybody with a blessed afternoon day. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Robin P., and sorry for your loss. Wendy M., will you please share with us now, followed by Noel A. Good morning, Wendy. Star 1, Wendy. Okay, perhaps Wendy M. needed to step away.
No, we can go back.
Okay, great.
Sorry about that. So Wendy M., recovered compulsive overeater. Happy to be here. Thank you, Don, for your service. So what I get from this is, first of all, he personally knows, and that's like us. We personally know what our experience is, and our experience is gold. Our experience tells us this is, you know, we don't convince. We don't have theoretical ideas. We actually have personal experience for ourselves for sure, and that's how we know. And then I wrote down, like, my thoughts were that it failed completely, other methods, you know, and the husband said, thank God my other methods have failed. You know, I've been trying to figure this out on my own forever, you know, since probably I was a little girl. And thank God, that none of my methods worked. And that's how I got here. I got here because none of them worked. And even in program, right, I do what I'm going to call mistakes, right? I'm going to try other methods within program, whether it has to do with food or other people, because I'm going to forget. And then I forget, and then I try to figure it out. And then God knocks on my door, and God says, you know what? I think we have a better way. But I only get to God because I make, quote, mistakes, because I'm trying other methods within program. And that is how God gets my attention, because I'm doing this. You know, like I said, God knocks on my door and gets my attention. Thank God, because I'm going to keep trying other methods because I'm a human being, you know, and I only rise to the level of human. So my miracles, and I had one this morning, is when I meditate and God just knocks on my door and says, sweetie, what about this? And I say, oh, my God, that's such a better method. So that's kind of how it works, you know, continually. And I just also want to say the doctor's opinion is a game changer. To me, it's the most important chapter in this particular divinely inspired book, because it tells me we're not weak-willed. It's not our fault. We actually have a twofold malady. And that is huge. And it also says we only have a spiritual solution, thank God. That means I can't be my solution. I cannot figure this out in any shape or form. And it isn't my fault, right? Like our whole lives, it's been our fault, and we're going to figure it out. We're going to control this, but we can't. We can't. Thank God I'm powerless. That's what the doctor's opinion says. And thank God I have a twofold malady, you know, because I now have a solution. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Wendy M. from Colorado. Noel A., please share with us, followed by Aaliyah B., and let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, it's actually Noel E. from Louisiana. And I am so grateful to be here. Thank you for everybody's service on this line and for all the awesome shares. I love this line. Woof, man, it's good. And what's coming up for me is, like, all other methods have failed. Like everybody's been saying, it's a spiritual solution. And for me, all other spiritual methods had failed. You know, there were just, I don't know if I assumed powerlessness but I definitely was not looking at me. I don't have enough self love. I didn't have enough self love for that. I was looking for other people to be my spiritual solution. Christian authors, feminist authors, motivational speakers, my family of origin, my children, you know, I can have another baby and transform, you know, transform myself. This will be my spirituality. This will be my faith. This will write it, this, you know, just all of those people that were dry wells that I were, you know, people, things, institutions, whatever they were, dry wells that I was running to so thirsty for, you know, for something. And like someone else sharing, that that those experiences are the evidence. Like I could have never experienced anything any earlier in my life or anything like that, because the evidence just is so important for me to know that all other methods had failed. You know, it's a very specific time right now on the religious calendar, and it is such an incredible feeling to, you know, put my God, the God of my understanding, before anything else, because I can recognize that those other methods had failed. And, you know, my higher power is calling me to this curiosity right now for a reason, and I'm just feeling so very blessed to be peaceful in exploring, you know, what I'm being shown. And yeah, that's just, all other spiritual methods had failed. And now I continue to get to look to my higher power for everything, and my higher power lives inside me. So that's the gift. It's no more looking out.
Time.
But I'm grateful to be abstinent, and I hope everybody has a beautiful day. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Noelle E. from Louisiana. Aaliyah B., share with us now, please, followed by Elaine G. Good morning, Aaliyah.
Good morning. It's Aaliyah A. from Montreal, Canada. I'm very happy to be here, and thank you all for your beautiful shares and leading this meeting. This paragraph is short but very powerful. It brings me back in time to remember so many methods that I tried in order to lose weight, whether it's Weight Watchers, not having dinner, visiting countless dietitians, having no carbs during the day, canceling all sugar, whatever, even diet pills, you know, to suppress my appetite. And really, none of them worked. And I always wondered, like, is there something wrong with me? Why is this not working? And I really didn't know that it was a disease that I have. And I honestly was, you know, I didn't even know that I was not a normal eater. So I didn't know I had an allergy of the body and a twist of the mind. I was not aware of all these things. So, you know, when I found OA and there's this solution and living in the steps, my life really changed. And it changed progressively, and it changed slowly on God's timing. But today I enjoy a normal body weight. I'm not fighting the food. I work really hard in this program, you know, and it's a true miracle, you know, that I have some freedom now, and I have specifically a design for living, as the big book says, you know. I thought I could do it alone. I was trying so many things, and now I have my higher power, you know, to guide me, to help me manage my life. I have my OA fellows, you know, who help me on a daily basis. And I love the spirituality side of this program, which, you know, I remember during my first OA meeting 5 years ago, I asked the leader. I said, what does it mean, spirituality? I don't know what it means. So, you know, so it's obvious now I cannot do it alone. I continue to work this program every day because it's a program of action. And this psychic change or personality change they talk about is real. And it's happening, you know, right in front of my eyes every day in my life. So I'm very grateful, very blessed to be part of this community, of this program, of this 12-step program, attending these meetings. So thank you all, and have a blessed day. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Noelle. Or I'm sorry, thank you, Aaliyah A. from Montreal, Canada. Now, Elaine G., will you share with us, followed by Deborah G.? Good morning, Elaine.
This is Elaine G. from New York. I'll tell you, I'm really grateful to this program. I mean, like, this morning I was talking with my sponsor, and, all in all is that when I used to go to different diet clubs, I'd be doing fine and losing weight and this and that, and all of a sudden things started bothering me. And, so then I said, all right, I'll starve myself. Don't worry about what's bothering me. I kind of push it back, you know. But at least in this program, I can address it. I can address what's bothering me, you know. I mean, what was bothering me today and actually for many years, practically my whole life. My relationship with maybe my sister. I kept on putting everything that's in the relationship wrong on her. Yeah, nothing to do with me, you know. And I realized that until I resolved this whole thing, and also doing the sick man's prayer so I did the 10-step sick man prayer for 2 weeks, and resolved this. I'm not going to be good with the food. I'm going to be terrible with the food. And I think I need to do another 10-step and another step 10, you know, until I really resolve this, and also talk to my therapist about it. And I'm just so grateful to Vision for You. I had a knee replacement that I didn't have time, and with my aid coming, the right time, so I was glad today I could make it. And thanks.
Thank you, Elaine G. from New York. And now, Deborah G., will you share with us, followed by Terry H.? Good morning, Deborah.
Oh, good morning, Dawn. Thank you. Thank you so much for chairing the meeting. I just love when you chair. And thank you all for making this meeting possible and all the shares today, 12-stepping me. I just love doing this together, holding hands, walking through this together. I relate, my tribe. And I was thinking about how much dishonesty, delusion I lived in when I was younger. I used to think if I had a little bit of fat on me that I would just not eat. I started restricting, just not eat. And then my body, this is my dishonesty, delusion, my body would eat the fat and then I'd be okay. And I'd keep doing that and keep doing that with food and restricting food. And it was just crazy. I thought it was okay. I truly believed that was okay. And then it progressed with trying to control the food, you know, the intake of the food, which the progression was I was doing more and more food and becoming more and more addicted to more alcoholic food. And I'm trying to control those. And again, I lived in that delusion and that dishonesty. And it wasn't until I really got honest. And I remember doing the step work. And that wasn't, you know, until this program and my OA Vision sponsor that I got here that I really, really got honest. I think that was the thing, because the food wasn't the problem, you know, and I was giving power to the food And I wasn't believing, I was believing the lie. I wasn't a compulsive overeater when I was. And that I needed to give power to that power in step two. Get connected, you know, start developing a relationship with that power. Because I had no power. I didn't believe. And that was the thing. I never thought about that. That was completely not in my mind at all. And my delusion of dishonesty that I had no power and that I couldn't do it. You know, the insanity of it. And trying all those other methods did not work. But I am so grateful for this program. And I'm so grateful for that loving presence that guided me to the person that I finally did get honest and do those beautiful 12 steps. And that I am having the thinking that I have today about that.
Time.
No. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Deborah G. Terry H., will you share with us now, please?
Thank you, Don, for all the service that you do. This is Terry H. from Pensacola, Florida. And I'm grateful beyond measure to be able to say that I'm a recovered compulsive overeater because I am a food addict of the worst variety. This is an incredible, powerful, powerful sentence. And it reminds me of all the things that I've tried all along the way. And, you know, they always worked. Every one of them worked as long as I worked it. But guess what? Terry Power doesn't last long enough. I want to go on record saying that I recently went out and did some more research. God came and got me and brought me back 31 years ago to recovery. And can I tell you how grateful I am that he loves me that much? I know the prescription now. If I had two clots, blood clots in my lungs,
Terry?
I would do exactly.
Terry?
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Is there some adjustment you can make? We're not getting every word. I just want to make sure we're getting every precious word that you say. So is there something?
Yeah. Is that better?
Perfect. Thank you so much.
There is a prescription. If I had a couple of blood clots in my lungs, I would do everything the doctor told me to do. Well, this disease is more powerful than that in my own thoughts. And the prescription that I have is I got to stay in the middle of the herd. I don't have to go into relapse ever again. I don't have to be a relapser, a chronic relapser. I just have to follow the prescription. And that's to go to meetings, share, and I don't like to share because my voice always quivers, and talk to people, make those phone calls, reach out and talk to people about what's going on, make those 10-step calls. And all I have to do is to stay in that center with the recovered. I want to be with recovered people, but I also want to be in close contact with people that do relapse. And I want to be in contact with beginners so that I can remember that I will always be a beginner. So anyway, with that, I pass. And thank you so much for this opportunity to share. Bye.
Thank you so much, Terry H., for that share. And thank you to everyone for your beautiful, beautiful shares today. We're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Freya H. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Star one, Freya.
This is Freya. Am I being heard?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.